Hello. I'm sure you're all thinking to yourselves, Naz and Dan haven't talked about apologies in a while. So, you're welcome in advance for today's episode about apologies.
It's our favorite topic.
It is our favorite topic. It used to be emotional labor, and now it's apologies.
No, I think apologies are super important because I think they go to the heart of... Oh, I just think they're super important. I think they're just great. Well, this top... I say that as someone who isn't interested in hearing apologies, which I will clarify what I mean because we've gotten quite a bit of mail on this. But this is The Gender Not. I am Naz.
I'm Dan. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about why you don't want to hear apologies, finally. We get a lot of flack about that.
Okay, we've gotten a lot of mail about this. So Dan and I are going to talk a little bit more about apologies. In case I haven't been clear, I'm not interested in apologies if they are there to make the person who's done wrong feel better. So if someone, male, female, whatever, wants to apologize and the expectation is I'm just going to tell them that, oh yeah, that's okay, that's not happening. If they want to apologize and that is part of their journey and they're going to listen to me, listen to my experience... tell me what they're going to do to fix it. Tell me what they're going to do on their end to make sure this isn't going to happen again to other people. That I am interested in. I'm not interested in someone just coming to say, I'm sorry, and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, it's okay. No, you're not a bad person. I'm sorry you feel sad. Me trying to make them feel better, that ain't happening. And I say that as someone who has also done a lot of pretty shitty things to people, and I have decided not to make them do the emotional labor of making me feel better for my wrongdoing. So I feel pretty strongly about that, actually.
But first, housekeeping.
I don't know if we've got much housekeeping. Write to us.
Write to us. Share the show. That's it. That's all we need, baby.
That's it. Write to us, thegendernot@gmail.com. Yeah, write to us about apologies because this is a big topic. So yeah, we're gonna dive back in.
Yeah. Okay. Back to it. Naz doesn't want to hear it if it's only there to make you feel better.
If it's self-serving, I'm not interested. No.
Yeah, I've got some more opinions about that as well, but you wanted to read something.
I want to read something. So we've been sent this really good book by Harriet Lerner. It's called Why Won't You Apologize? Healing Big Betrayals and Everyday Hurts. So I think everyone should pick this up. It's great because she goes through, I think she's a therapist. Yeah, I think so. She goes through loads of different scenarios of
I just want to say, if my therapist wrote a book, I would be super nervous. Continue.
But anyway, it's really good. So she goes through, I'll read you some of the chapter titles. There's one called Five Ways to Ruin an Apology, Apologizing Under Fire, How to Handle Big Time Criticism, The Secret Life of the Non-Apologizer. So she talks a lot about the purpose of an apology.
That sounds tawdry.
It's good. Do's and don'ts. You know, reasons to give apologies, reasons which are not good to give apologies. Anyway, she goes into a lot, but there's one thing that really resonated with me. Maybe it's also because personally it resonated as someone who used to do a lot of shitty things and wasn't good at owning up to my mistakes. So she talked that in a chapter called The Secret Life of the Non-Apologizer, she talks a lot about... people who, this whole thing of like trying to be perfect and trying to have your shit together and how that can get in the way of admitting to your mistakes. I think it's like really powerful. So she talks about, it's called a matter, this section's called A Matter of Self-Worth. So she says, the perfectionist walks a tightrope above a canyon of low self-esteem. People who need to have it all together are in touch with their competence, but lose sight of the fact that we are all error-prone, imperfect human beings. It may therefore feel too risky to admit to error or wrongdoing, even to oneself. Perfectionists fail to identify with the wise words of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. To offer a serious apology, you need the inner strength to allow yourself to feel vulnerable. You need to be in touch with both your competence and your limitations. When you have fairly solid self-esteem, you can admit to being in the wrong without feeling like you're weakening the fabric of the self or losing something to the other person. And in another section, she says, When we adopt an attitude of terminal seriousness about our mistakes, or we equate mistakes with being unworthy, lesser, or bad, it's more difficult to admit error and apologize for being wrong. A vicious cycle ensues because the inability to admit error, orient to reality, and offer a heartfelt apology only leaves the perfectionist feeling less authentic and whole, that is, even less perfect, which then further heightens the resistance to apologizing. I feel like, personally, I can really relate to this because back when I used to, you know, be very perfect, that was the problem with admitting you're in the wrong.
You're still perfect.
Oh. when I used to try to be very perfect and stuff, that was the problem. It was just the fact that I had made a mistake was such a huge threat to my very identity that then it will be like, no, I haven't made a mistake, no, you're wrong, no, that didn't happen. And I can actually look back and see on instances where I probably really gaslit people quite badly just because I didn't want to admit that I had made a mistake. A friend she was telling me recently that she's saying that it's the second mistake that really screws you, so which I think is so true.
That's good.
The not being able to say, hey, you know what, I was wrong. And I wonder, especially, I'm going to make this gendered. I wonder if this is something for men. You know, if a lot of guys have been sort of brought up to like always have their shit together, admitting that I made a mistake, is that such a big threat to your very identity?
Yes.
Because that's what Harriet Lerner is basically talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for all men. I mean, Lord knows I'm asked to, but coming from me directly, yeah, making mistakes is terrifying. And I mean, well, I should say as a perfect specimen of humanity, it's very rare. But when it is, it's terrifying. I still to this day, and this is years into doing work around it and trying to be a better person and trying to own up to stuff and trying to take critical feedback, I am still the first thought I have anytime I make a mistake is run. It's run away. It's set this on fire and get in a car and get as far away from here as possible. Mm-hmm. And then I have to do the second thought, which is, no, you need to, you know, take your lumps.
But I think it is this thing of a mistake being seen as a big marker of I'm a bad person, I'm not worthy, I'm so awful, rather than, look, I'm a person and I made a mistake.
Well, sure, but men aren't persons. Do you know what I mean? Men aren't. I as a man, I am not a person. I am a man. There's a difference. There's a difference between a person and a man. Does that make sense? I don't know if it does. I don't know how to word that. But I think there is a difference in the heart of every man in what the definition of being a person is and what the definition of being a man is. Because as a man, I am strong, I am resilient, I do not make mistakes, I am confident, and I can back it up. Because that's what it, like, a man is, you know? And then if I make a mistake, well, shit, it's not that I'm not a good person, it's that I'm not a man. You know? And if I'm not a man, what am I? Because I've never been, being a person has never been an option. That's never been presented to me. No one's ever been like, and you can be a person. No, they go, and you will be a man. Maybe that's me because I have a dad who was in the military and I went to an all-boys school. And the idea of being a man has been just so drilled into me that maybe I'm speaking it from like a slightly more deranged section of the male population, but it was never brought up to me to be a person. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But I also, I mean, I do agree that like the ability to apologize comes from self-worth, and self-worth is like, I don't care if I'm a man by my father's definition of a man. I am happy and good by my definition of what a good person is.
Right. Well, but even that I find, because this comes up a lot, I find even this thinking of, oh, I'm not a bad person, or, you know, when people get very upset at giving an apology or thinking they've made a mistake, that, oh, that means I'm a bad person. No, it means you're a person. I think even that value judgment is kind of unhelpful, because sure. I don't think of myself as a good person or a bad person. I think of myself, after lots of therapy, I think of myself as a person who is capable of both.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do think these value judgments are unhelpful. I think me before therapy, exactly, it was that thing of, oh, I've done something bad, I'm a bad person. And then all of the energy goes into like protecting that rather than what were my actions. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's never, and it's, yeah, I think, oof, this is a lot. You hate when I get so broad, but I'm about to get existential. But
do it.
I think even thinking of myself as a self is the root of the problem, because it's not about who or what I even am. It's about what I did. Do you know what I mean? And regardless yep. of whether or not I'm even a fucking person, I don't know what a person is, man. We're like, none of us are even here. Most of, you know what I mean? But I did a thing and it affected right. another person. And yep. and what I think of me has no value in this equation. It's just, what did I do and how do I fix it?
Yes.
And even can it be fixed, right? Because mm-hmm. because I think so much, and we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, of the idea of like schoolboy apologies of like, say you're sorry and now say I forgive you. So much of what we as men expect from an apology is instant forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you did okay. You're fine. No big deal. NPD. I forgive you. And when we don't get that, it's like, well, what the fuck? Can't you just let this go? And mm-hmm. and the apology isn't, I mean, it is and it isn't. I know everybody hates me when I take two sides, but it is and it isn't
Blake.
About, well, it is and it isn't about forgiveness. Do you know what I mean? Like right. for you as the person receiving the apology, maybe it's about forgiveness. But for me as the person giving the apology, it's not whether or not you forgive me. It's not whether or not I can even fix the situation. It is about like me growing. It is about me trying. It's about me experiencing the pain of going through my own ego and dealing with my own mistake and trying to do better next time. Because if I can't apologize this time, I'm for sure not going to do better next time. But if I can apologize today and suck it up and go through that shit, then maybe I won't make the same mistake, you know?
I want to read a really good Twitter thread by Rabbi Daniel Ruttenberg, who is wicked. Everyone should follow her on Twitter. She is amazing. So she is a
See,
rabbi.
Listen, I don't have any problems with Judaism, but a lady rabbi, that's crazy. Call me old-fashioned, but in Catholicism, our rabbis are fellas.
You still ain't there, but anyway. Rabbi Daniel Ruttenberg, she is wicked. We have put these threads into the show notes because you definitely have to follow her. So she tweets about lots of really important stuff, but it was around Yom Kippur last year. Okay, all the Jewish people listening are going to be really annoyed at me because I'm definitely going to get it wrong. But from what I understand, that is all about atonement and repentance. So around Yom Kippur last year, she had done some fantastic threads about atonement and forgiveness and all this stuff. I wanted to read you some of them. Hang on, let me find.
Like the idea of a day where I can just go up to everybody and be like, hey, I banged your wife. I stole your car. I broke into your house. I pushed your child down a hill. I'm sorry.
It's a lot more complicated than that, Dan, because you're going to find out it's a lot more complicated.
Is that not what the Day of Atonement is for?
No, so this is one of her threads. She says, apologize not at the person, but to them. Put yourself in a space of vulnerable, empathetic listening as you offer your sincere regrets and apologies. Know that sometimes doing so might harm the victim further and navigate that sensitively. don't do more harm. Most of the stuff that most of us do is not hopefully going to re-traumatize someone. It's just uncomfortable and scary to own our mistakes, selfishness, lack of impulse, etc. Too bad. Enter the discomfort, but only after you've started to do the work to become different. Then she talks about how nobody owes you forgiveness.
That's what I just said.
You did harm. You have to live with that. Engage with that with humility. Use it as a chance to be transformed into a better person. Keep your eyes on your own blue book. Let the person you harmed have their own process, but don't look to them to fix it for you. Fix yourself. We're all human. We've all strayed from who we need to be this year. We've all hurt people this year. This is the season to own what of that you haven't yet. What work do you need to do now? And then she has another thread that
totally
goes...
This rabbi's taken all my good ideas. This is basically what I just said, and this rabbi is
like thousands of years of religion. It's thousands of years of religion.
Okay, thousands of years of religion versus like 6.5 years of me trying my damnedest. So...
But... She has another thread. Also, because she goes into this whole, we keep talking about it on the show and in society, about all these high-profile men who've wronged women and when do they get to come back and, oh, but they gave an apology, blah-de-blah-de-blah. So she goes into this as well. Okay, this is another thread that we've also linked to. She talks about this. Okay, I want to distinguish between atonement, forgiveness, and repentance, which are three different concepts in Judaism. The critical one, in my view, is repentance, where the real work is on the person who has done harm. There are specific steps to repentance work. 1, owning the harm perpetrated, ideally publicly. 2, do the work to become the kind of person who doesn't do harm, which requires a ton of inner work. 3, make restitution for harm done in whatever way possible. 4, then apologize for the harm caused in whatever way that will make it as right as possible with the victim. 5, when faced with the opportunity to cause similar harm in the future, make a better choice. Forgiveness is up to the victim and the victim alone. Atonement is up to God. So I think the conversation here is about repentance work that perpetrators have or haven't done. Regarding dudes angling for comebacks, a public apology doesn't prove the inner work has happened. And a few months away isn't long to be gone given the work that must be done. Frankly, jumping back into the spotlight at the first opportunity raises suspicions about where their focus is. I'd look for a shift in priorities if I wanted to understand their sincerity. For example, an investment of their significant wealth into work protecting victims of assault and harassment or preventing similar harm. I'd look for proactive restitution work directly to all the perpetrators' victims, whether financial restitution or interpersonal reconciliation work if the victim was open to that, or something else directed to the person harmed, not to the public. I'd look for a stepping away from the ego-stroking, power-holding limelight that made the harm so easy to perpetrate in the first place. And then she says, we can always grow and change and become better, and even if we can't fix the harm done, we can address it to the full extent possible. Does that mean that we as a society are obligated to reward men who have done harm without more opportunities for wealth and celebrity? I don't think it does. I think that's just a great thread. She kind of just covers it all.
Yeah, I like this rabbi.
Yeah, she's wicked.
Don't tell my Catholic high school teachers I said that.
There is something though. There is something, and that is the thought. You and I have mentioned this actually in, I think, our first apologies episode. But the fact is that sometimes there do need to be consequences, and I often wonder if a lot of this talk about apologies is also about not having to have consequences. Like, oh, how can I just make this situation better so I can continue with my life as it was? The fact is, the person who's been harmed has had to deal with that harm, and they have had to face consequences as the result of someone else's actions.
Right.
So I think the perpetrator, sometimes the best thing you can do as part of an apology is to be like, okay, these are the consequences to my actions, and I am going to take them.
Right. Well, everybody thinks that there should be a positive consequence to an apology. Do you know what I mean? Everybody thinks right. that everybody thinks that I apologize and then everything gets better. And it goes back to that idea of like you apologize in school and everything's fine. But right. when you apologize, it, like fuck you is a perfectly acceptable response to I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. Fuck you. That's a great answer. That is a perfect answer. And it is completely valid. And
but
I mean,
this conversation of, oh, should so-and-so lose their job or whatever? Like, sometimes, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes that is the...
It really depends on the act, or the act, the action, the work they're doing as a result of it, and the people that they harmed, right? Like how big was the harm? Because some stuff you just can't come back from. Or, like, who did you harm? Maybe, like, depending on who it was, like, maybe it's up to them whether or not you get to. I think a guy like Louis, you know, he's got a lot of...
Louis C.K.
Yeah, he's got a lot of fucking money, and he's got a fucking production company. And while you were reading that, I was like, you know what he could be doing is, like, using his production company to, like, give opportunities to really funny women and help put out some really cool work by, like, some of the people maybe that he's fucking jacked off at, and like that might be better than him going back on tour right now. You know what I mean? Like, right. maybe he could be supporting women with his unlimited supply of money and equipment.
Yeah, but dude, that sounds just like guys who give money to women's charities and are rapists.
Well, no, but
like.
Yeah,
like
or
Harvey
that
episode, right?
That episode of Forensic Files where there was like a cop that would be, he was like the cop that would go on like the local news segments about how to like be safe as a woman, but he was also a rapist. Oh,
God.
That was crazy.
Oh, God. No, but my point is that sometimes it isn't like I did my apology and now I can be welcomed back.
No, but I'm saying like if he wants to, if like, so instead of going like she was saying, like jumping back into the limelight and taking all the stuff, like what if it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be using all, like I've built all this stuff with my career, and in that career I hurt a lot of people, so maybe I step back from being the center of the thing and I use what I've accumulated to help some of the other people be the center of the thing and get some stuff, and I just hang out and I help them produce their work and I help them do stuff and I stop being a monster, and maybe eventually, but this is not the goal, but maybe eventually you get to do stuff in front of a camera again, but that's not the goal. The goal is help other people. And if the goal is help other people, then whatever happens as a result of that is going to be good.
Yeah. So the past year and a half, the past year, I've been thinking about Cory Booker a lot.
Oh, you love that Cory Booker.
No, not really, but I've been thinking about him a lot. I'll tell you why, because, you know, during the Kavanaugh hearings last year, I remember there was a point where I was like, you know, when all the senators were like questioning Brett Kavanaugh and stuff, I was, there's a point with Cory Booker where I was like, I bet he's done this. It kind of reminded me of like when I see someone do a shitty thing that I had done and I get really mad at it. It had that sort of same, had that same sort of dynamic. I was thinking either number one, he's done this, or this has happened to someone he cares about, but I think it's number one, right?
Yeah, or it's both.
Or both, right?
Maybe did it to someone he cares about is my point.
Well,
anyway.
I went and did some digging. And it turned out that he had groped a very close friend when he was a teenager. And he had written about it as a college student in the university paper. And he had done a lot of work where he had worked with like a rape crisis center. And, you know, he did a bunch of work around that and learning how to not behave like that. And I kind of thought that was pretty cool because... Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I never really saw him come out and talk about that stuff publicly. I just feel like this is someone who just went and did the work, and then when they get the opportunity to step up in that situation, they do, you know? And I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, yeah, this is kind of cool.
But at the same time, aren't we talking about, like, making our apologies public?
Yeah, but, dude, he was, like, 17 when that happened.
No, I know.
No, but I'm just saying, you know... I just feel like that sort of thing of not making it all about him, it's more like he went and he did the work, and then years later when it comes up, he kind of holds someone accountable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, I don't know. Because I don't know, I slightly dismiss Cory Booker, but that made me think, maybe he's like better than I thought.
I don't know enough about Cory Booker to get involved in whether or not he's better than you thought. But I think that's a cool thing. I mean, that's the thing. Like, fucking everybody has done something shitty. We all have. And the sooner we get over the idea that we're the only ones who aren't allowed to, the easier it is to own up to the stuff we've done.
And to do the work.
Yeah. Okay, see ya.
This is The Gentinel. I'm Naz.
I'm Dan. Co-produced by Jonathan Blackwell and Sam Baker. Go say sorry to somebody.
Yeah, and do a heartfelt, genuine apology. If they want to tell you to get lost, you sit there and listen to it and
no,
go
you
and
get
do
lost.
Work.
You don't sit there. If they say get lost, you get lost.
I meant you listen to them telling you to get lost.
Okay. Yeah, and then you kick rocks.
And then you join the club that Dan and I are in.
Yeah. Okay, bye.